Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, July 16th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Really the first Polycast of July. I've been on vacation. Finally back. Was back yesterday, but didn't have enough material to go. But we're all set now, and we're going to keep going. On today's edition, a long list of bonding proposals emerges. Candidates start to report their fundraising, and a chat with Republican Senate candidate Mike McFadden. The nation's top education official makes a stop in the Twin Cities today to talk about early childhood education. Tim Post reports.
U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan will visit a preschool classroom in Bloomington and then hold a public forum with Governor Mark Dayton at nearby Kennedy High School. Secretary Duncan also plans to address a conference for the National Network of State Teachers of the Year being held in downtown Minneapolis. Duncan is pushing the Obama administration's Pre-K for All effort, which would provide free early childhood education to every low and moderate income four-year-old in the United States. It also encourages states to offer free full-day kindergarten. This spring, Minnesota lawmakers approved $134 million in funding to pay for all-day kindergarten in the state's 300-plus school districts. The legislature also approved $40 million to provide pre-K scholarships to about 10,000 low-income students over the next 2 years. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton and state lawmakers will have a long list of construction projects to pick from next year when they begin to assemble their bonding bill proposals. Tim Pugmire has that.
Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner Jim Showalter notified House and Senate committee chairs that preliminary bonding bill requests already total $2.8 billion. The requests came from state agencies and local governments. Showalter said his department will work over the coming months to refine the cost estimates. Governor Dayton will submit a bonding proposal to the legislature in January. Lawmakers passed a pared-down $156 million package of construction projects back in May after an $800 million bonding bill failed to win a supermajority in the House. Many of those projects are expected to get another look in 2014. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Candidates for federal offices are starting to report their fundraising. In the 6th District, former State Representative Tom Emmer has raised $225,000 since entering the race to replace retiring Republican Representative Michelle Bachmann. He has about $200,000 in the bank after expenses and IOUs. Emmer is tapping into a fundraising base that he honed as the Republican nominee for governor in 2010. Other candidates in the 6th, Republican State Senator John Peterson, reported raising $35,000 and not spending much so far. Anoka County Commissioner Rhonda Sivaraja and her campaign raised about $19,000 in a week. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Mike McFadden raised almost $765,000 in the month of June, according to the report he filed with the FEC yesterday. The campaign ended the second quarter with $742,000 cash on hand. McFadden is hoping to run next year against Democrat Al Franken. He sat down for a chat yesterday with our reporter Tom Scheck. He said he's willing to look at changes in federal entitlement programs and said one of the big issues he's concerned about is jobs.
I'm very, very concerned about the state of the economy right now. It's very stagnant. We have a stagnant economy and a massive amount of debt. Since Al Franken took office in 2008, debt has almost doubled to $17 trillion. It's now almost 80% of GDP. In addition, the unemployment rate is not 7%. It's more around 14% when you look at the number of people that have taken themselves out of the workforce. We need to create an environment where there's innovation and job growth. And I think what's happening with the federal government right now is there's a lack of confidence in the direction of the government. And as a result, businesses are sitting on the sidelines and not spending money. I mean, if you look at corporate America, they're sitting on records amount of cash on their balance sheets, almost $2 trillion. We need to get them to spend that money, create jobs, spend it on capital expenditures, new plants, new facilities. I'll give you an example. Allen Edmonds, which is a company that I've been involved with, we're one of only two manufacturers in the U.S. of men's dress shoes. We have worked to expand our retail presence around the country over the last couple of years. We've added 270 jobs in America. And trust me, we've had a number of people come in and tell us that we should move jobs overseas, that we can do it cheaper, but we've refused to do that because we're focused on building things here in the U.S., and we got a great product.
So from your perspective, making the environment more competitive is what? Does what? I mean, you're going to be in the Senate with 99 other people if you're elected. What are you going to be able to do, or what direction do you say this is where the federal government needs to go?
Well, from the federal government, so we talk about when we talk about the economy, one thing is we got to be smarter about regulation. I'm not for no regulation. We need regulation, but it needs to be smarter, and it's got to be something that's decipherable and people can make decisions upon. We also need to reform the tax code. I mean, it is absurd. The existing tax code is absurd. When it was in 1986, when Ronald Reagan was president, and we redid the tax code, and it was very simple at the time. Since then, 15,000 additions, modifications, amendments have been added to that tax code. Tom, in this room we're sitting in today, when we couldn't bring the tax code in here, we need multiple rooms like this. 9 out of 10 Americans use either a professional or a software to get their taxes done. It's become that complicated. When my wife went back to work, we have 6 kids. When Danny went back to school and Mary-Kate went to work, she came home with a W-4. And she said, Mike, can you help me fill this out? Now, most Americans, you have the W-4. It's where you detail how many exemptions that you can take. I've had the benefit of going to law school and taking a lot of tax classes. I said, Mary-Kate, that's great. Let me look at it after dinner. I sat there. And keep in mind, I'd been in my same job for 20 years, so I hadn't filled one of these out in 20 years. I looked at the front of it. I turned it over. I looked at the back of it. I turned it back over. I looked at the front again. And I said, you know, here's what my guess is, but I need to talk to my tax accountant to fill this out. That's not acceptable. We need to simplify the tax code.
And when it comes to taxes, can you support increases of any kind on the federal level?
I'm not going to support any tax increases. I will work diligently to weed out all waste in government. I mean, I think it's imperative that before we ask hardworking Minnesotans to pay any more taxes, that we've gone line by line through the government budget, the federal government budget, and take all the waste out. There's a tremendous amount of waste there.
Okay, and so you've mentioned that several times, but I think folks who would be listening to this would say, okay, well, where specifically are you going to find that high-dollar waste that you talk about?
Well, my experience in business, keep in mind I've run a business for 20 years, and I've advised a number of businesses both in Minnesota and around the country, and I believe with focus there's always waste that you can find, and pretty significant waste. And so I think if you look at the operating budget of each organization within the federal government and send a mandate out that they need to reduce expenses by a certain percent, and they'll find it. Look at the example with the IRS, which has come to light, you know, unfortunately, with some of the actions by the IRS. But the money that they were spending on things like exorbitant conferences at locations that I don't get a chance to visit, taking line dancing. I mean, that's just not acceptable. We got to go through and get rid of that waste, especially given the environment we're in.
But do you think that adds up to the level of, I mean, isn't it true that it's basically Medicare, healthcare, other issues that are the big cost drivers, defense spending, the big cost drivers, and don't you need to obviously take a look at those? And
yes.
Dramatically reform those?
Absolutely, Tom. I couldn't agree with you more. When you look at the non-discretionary spending, what we were just talking about was discretionary spending. When you look at the non-discretionary spending, which is the majority of the federal budget, it needs to be reformed. There needs to be responsible reform to senior entitlements. That's something that we need to address in a responsible way. I want to be a part of that conversation. I don't support changing when we talk about Social Security and Medicare, anybody that's near-term retirement. So close to retirement, we cannot change their expectations. They haven't had a chance to change their behavior. But for people that are far from retirement age, we need to address that. And we need to do it sooner than later, because otherwise those programs, Social Security and Medicare, are going to be broke. Even President Obama has acknowledged that.
So folks who are 45 should be thinking about changing their behavior, or is it younger than that, older than that?
I don't, Tom, know the exact age, if it's 45 or 42 or 48. I mean, we'll look at that, and we'll look at that in a very measured way. But it is conceptually, it's people that are not near-term retirement, that have time to plan, that need an opportunity to. Also, I'd like to see them have more choices in terms of how they think about their retirement plan and how they put dollars away.
Okay. And does that include perhaps allowing some of that public money to be invested in the stock market? What some people say is privatization.
Potentially. Potentially. I would want to look at that, Tom. I think everything needs to be on the table. We need to save these programs. I mean, they're important to our seniors. I mean, we as a society have to take care of our seniors. I absolutely believe that. But we need a program that's going to be solvent. And if we don't address it now, we're going to lose optionality and we're going to be forced with more draconian cuts. Right now, we have the opportunity where we can message to the market and say to younger people, things are going to change. Tom, as you know, when FDR put Social Security into place and picked 65 as the retirement age, the mortality rate was 66. You know, that's changed dramatically. And that's one of the issues that we need to think through responsibly as legislators and leaders in this country.
That's Republican U.S. Senate candidate Mike McFadden talking with our reporter Tom Scheck. And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.